1 Samuel chapter 20. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 20 verse 1 said, "And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is mine iniquity and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?' And he said unto him, 'God forbid thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so.' And David sware moreover and said, 'Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death.' Then said Jonathan unto David, 'Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee.' And David said unto Jonathan, 'Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say David earnestly ask leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city. For there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father?' And Jonathan said, 'Far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee?' Then said David to Jonathan, 'Who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answered thee roughly?' And Jonathan said unto David, 'Come and let us go out into the field.' And they went out both of them into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, 'O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then sin not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only, I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth.' So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, 'Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies.' And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, 'Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty.'" Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come and gather together this evening, Lord. And I just pray that you'd have your way in this service. Thank you for every testimony that's been given. Lord, every song that's been sung. Lord, I pray that each one, when we leave here tonight, will say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, I pray if there's one here lost among us, that you might just deal with their hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that they might see their lost condition, Lord, and their need of a Savior. Lord, I pray that you'll help us for just a little bit. Lord, this is a place we don't want to stand alone. We've said many times, Lord, we want your touch. We want your anointing. Lord, we desire that unction, Lord, that only you can give. And I pray, sweet Holy Spirit, this evening that you'll have your free course and right away in this service. Lord, deal with hearts. Speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that we'll be encouraged through the preaching, Lord, of the Word of God this evening. Help us now, and we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do and accomplish. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake. Amen. You can be seated. There in verse 18 said, Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty." I love to read about David and the encounters that he's had up till this point. We know that David came on the scene in chapter 16. God has turned Saul away. He's rejected Saul as being king because he intruded himself into the priest office. And offered a sacrifice that he shouldn't have, and we know that God has sent Samuel over to the house of Jesse to anoint the one that would be king over Israel. We know that David has had the victory there in chapter 17 with Goliath the giant there when he went out to the battle and carried the cheeses to his brothers and the men that was in the army there. And we know that David was always misunderstood, seemingly, even by his own family there in chapter 17 when he went in and he heard what would be done there. And he asked that question, that great question in verse 29. And David said, "What have I now done?" When he asked what would be done to the one that would deliver Israel there. And his brother told him he knew that, he said he knew of the naughtiness of his heart and the pride that he had just come down. He said, "Who have you left those few sheep with there in the wilderness?" And David made that great statement that's been preached to many times, said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" And David, we know that he went on out after that fact and he slew the giant there that was defying the armies of God. And Saul had sort of took him in, and Saul had this evil spirit we know that would come on him from time to time. And we know that David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He could play the harp and he could sing those psalms, and he could just sort of calm the heart of Saul. But Saul, yet with jealousy in his heart, he had this thing against David because he knew that God had rejected him and that David was going to be the next king of Israel there. And we know that he had tried to kill David. And we come to this point in time when David is fixing to start running for his life, and he's beginning to have to take to the hills and to the caves and to hide a little bit shortly after this because of Saul and his endeavor to kill David that he might not become king, that his sons might fall into that place. But let me say, you can't fight against God. I mean, this thing was predestinated of God that David, a man after God's own heart, would be king of Israel. We come to this point in time, and the conversation that's taking place here in chapter 20 between Jonathan and David, they had a love for one another. They were friends, and God had put them together. And as we see that David knew that there was evil determined against him, and Jonathan, even though he had that hope that his father was not determining to take David's life, and we see that they made a covenant there together. But that verse number 18 where it said, "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty.'" I think all of us have a seat to fill, especially in the house of God. That's why I put this chair down here tonight. While I'm preaching, I want you to look at that chair and imagine that chair and that seat, that's your seat here in the house of God. There's no one sitting in that, so that seat is empty tonight. And, you know, it's very possible if we don't stay close to God, if we don't walk with God, it's very possible, I don't care how spiritual you might think, if you're not walking with God, if you're not close to Him, you're not fellowshipping with Him on a regular basis, there's a chance that before the month is out that could be your seat and it could be empty out there. We've become accustomed already to looking out, and we see seats where a lot of individuals sit from time to time. Sunday morning, there's people sitting over here, and we'll look over here and see them sitting in their seat. Sunday night, we all move over here. I'm praying that one of these days we won't have to move over here, that we'll fill both sides up, or at least half both sides up on Sunday night, because everyone, I believe, has a seat to fill in the house of God. I believe God's got a specific place for every individual that He's ever saved and placed into the body of Christ. The Scriptures bears it record that we've all got a place, that we're all fitly joined together. We've all got that seat where we're to feel and to be faithful to God in this day and hour that we're living in. But I want to preach on some things tonight, the Lord being my helper, on some things that will cause your seat to be empty. On some things that will cause your seat to be empty. Number one, let me say, first of all, and I'll not preach long. I don't have a long message tonight unless the Lord develops it into a long message. My wife and everybody, Daddy and all of them, they always draw up when I say I'm not going to preach long because they say, "Uh-oh, look out, we're in for an hour one tonight." But that's not the case tonight, I can assure you that. But I want to preach on some things that will cause your seat to be empty. And number one, not listening to God is the number one thing that will cause your seat to be empty this evening. There's a lot of individuals. We can look through the Word of God, down through the times. In the Old Testament, we find people that didn't listen to God. Saul didn't listen to God, and we find that later on his seat, the throne as the king of David, was empty because of rebellion in his heart, because he intruded into that position, into the priest office, and he offered that sacrifice when Samuel had delayed and he hadn't come to him at the specified time that he thought he ought to be there. And Saul had went out and he didn't utterly destroy the Amalekites there. And he took Agag and some of the best of the sheep and the cattle. And saw Samuel, when he come up and he asked him, he said, "Hast thou done what the Lord has told you to?" And he said, "I've fulfilled it. I've done it verbatim," not verbatim, but in those few words, he said he had obeyed. And Samuel said, "Well, what meaneth the lowing and the blading of the sheep?" Right. And he said, "Well, I've kept some of the best for sacrifices." And then he brought forth Agag. He thought he might use Agag for at a specific time. And we find he brought him out, and Samuel, in fulfilling the wish of God, God told him to utterly destroy them people. He didn't tell him to save the best, to save the king. He said to kill them all. And when he brought Agag out, he came out trembling. And Samuel took the sword and he hewed Agag to pieces. It's important to listen to God tonight in our lives, whatever it might be that He's telling you to do, wherever it is He's telling you to go, wherever, whatever it is He's telling you to do. It's best that we pay attention to God. Not listening to God will cause your seat to be empty. Adam failed to listen to God there in the Garden of Eden. He told him to not. He could eat of all the fruit of the garden, but there was a tree there in the midst of the garden that he wasn't to eat of that tree. And we know that the serpent came and he beguiled Eve and he tempted her and he seduced her into partaking of that forbidden fruit that God had told him to not eat of. And then we know that Adam, he knew very well what he was doing, and he partook of that tree there because Eve gave him, or because of Eve, he knew that she was going to die because God told them that they would die when they took eat of that tree. And then they changed the Word of God and said that he told them not to even touch it. He didn't tell them not to touch it. He told them not to eat of it. And we find that Adam, through his a failure to listen to God, he lost his position there in the Garden of Eden of keeping that beautiful garden. There wasn't no briars, there wasn't no thistles. I mean, it was a perfect place. Man and woman was there in their innocency. They were naked and they didn't even know it. But soon as Adam took, he knew what he was doing. He took it willfully. And when he partook, Eve was deceived. But Adam took it willingly, and when he ate of that forbidden fruit, then he lost his position there in the Garden of Eden. He lost his place as also as the head of federation of mankind. And we know that through that disobedience and not listening to God, we're in a mess tonight. Amen. Sin passed upon all men. Bible says, "Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And we know that Adam messed up, and he failed to listen to God. Man, he had it made. And because of his love for that woman, he got us all in a mess tonight. That's why we have to be saved. That's why we have to deal with sin in our lives. It's because that sin that he partook there and he brought upon us, he lost his place, he lost his position, and he got in a mess not listening to God. We can get in a mess tonight not listening to God. There's a lot of churches across this land that didn't listen to God, and they're in a mess in the pulpit because the men that they got, they wanted what they wanted instead of what God wanted in that place. There's a lot of churches messed up like that. They getting resumes. I thank God that y'all didn't ask me for a resume. That's, you know, if we just follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, I'm glad you didn't ask me for no credentials. What kind of education I had. They didn't even ask me no Bible questions, Hart. None. That just tells me that they I'd done preached 2 or 3 times. They knew I was going to preach the Word of God. They didn't need no credentials. I didn't have many anyway. I pastored one church for nearly 12 years, so I didn't have much of a resume. The rest of the time, I've been working in the field, man. I've been fixing cars, building vans, putting up, working carpenters, mixing mud back yonder when I was a teenager. But not listening to God. I mean, it's easy in this day and hour that we're living in to not listen to God. Eli, he failed to listen to God. You know who Eli is? He was the priest there in the temple. And we know that Eli failed to listen to God and he lost his church. I mean, he wasn't doing things right. He wasn't doing what God had a specific way that those sacrifices was to be brought, those sacrifices was to be offered. And we see in reading the Word of God and that we follow Eli, and there at the end when he fell off of a wall, when he heard that the ark of God had been taken, his sons Hophni and Phinehas, I believe it was, had been killed, said he was a heavy man. And he fell off the wall and broke his neck. He hadn't been eating right. He got obese. He done got in bad shape. But he lost his church because he allowed them boys to... He refused to discipline those boys, and they were laying in the gates of the city, and they would offer the sacrifice. They'd put it in the water, and they'd pull it out before it got done, and they'd eat it with the blood still dripping out of it. And God had told them not to do that. Eli had got to be an old man and his eyes had begun to get dim. Hannah brought Samuel to him, to the temple. Hannah prayed for a boy child. God gave him to her and she brought him to a temple for Eli to raise up and for him to be there in the temple. And we know that God spoke to Samuel. Samuel, one of the greatest priests that Israel ever had. One of the greatest. He was always faithful. And we see that Eli lost his church there because of his disobedience and not listening to God. We see that he allowed these things to go on in the temple, and God took away that place there in the church of Israel. In the temple as the priest. And his children lost it. Those children, he refused to restrain them. They were laying with the women in the gates of the city. And Eli lost his church. He lost his children. A lot of times, people, they'll lose their place in the church and they'll lose their children because they fail to listen to God. I think the Bible says, train up a child in the way to go, and when it's old, and not depart from it. You know what I think that means, Brother Melvin? I don't think it means that you train them up and if they go out there and they get away from it, that one day they'll come back to that. I don't think that's what that means. Sometimes that happens, but most of the time you see them go away and you've kept them in the house of God. If you ain't trained them like the Word of God says, sometimes we're in and out and up and down and they're not seeing us faithful, and kids are brought up in church, but really, in reality, they weren't trained up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they go out there and they get in sin and they fall into sin, and they never make it back. Some of them die lost. I think it means exactly what it says. Train up a child in the way it should go, and when it's old, it'll not depart from it. I believe if we're honest with God, and we'll listen to God, and we'll get them kids down, we'll teach them that serving God's right. They'll see us being faithful to the house of God. They'll see us being faithful in our living. They'll see us faithful in paying our debts. They'll see us faithful in everything and every area of our life. Hey, that's pleasing to God, and we've set Him first and preeminent in our life. We read the Word of God to them. We pray for them on a regular basis. We take them to a Bible preaching church where the preacher will declare the whole counsel of God, not just preach salvation all the time, but preach them how to live after they get saved and what to abstain from and what how to draw nigh to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from them. I believe if we train them up in the way that they'll go, they'll serve God all their life. When we raise them up and they go away, that don't mean it's God's fault. Somebody fail. Whether it's me, whether it's you, or whether who it is. I just believe if we do it by the book and we train them up in the house of God and they see us being honest in our dealings, I believe they'll serve God. Eli failed to listen to God and he lost his church. He lost his children. Adam failed to listen to God. He lost his position. He lost his place. We see Solomon, he failed to listen to God and he lost the kingdom. God had told him. God had already promised David that he'd always bless him as long as they'd walk uprightly before him. We find that Solomon, though, he got messed up. Wisest man in the world, he prayed the first thing he asked God for. He asked him for the right thing. God said, whatever you ask me for, I'll give it to you. And Solomon prayed that the Lord would give him the wisdom to judge his people. And God told him, said, because thou hast not asked for gold and silver and these things, but you've asked for wisdom, he said, I'm going to give you the wisdom and I'm going to give you the gold and silver too. I'm going to bless you. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, you know what happened to him? Same thing happened to Adam. Woman turned his heart, caused him to fall, caused him to fail. Because his love of strange women, he married those women of the land surrounding that God told him to abstain from, to stay away from, those that were worshiping idols. So he married those women and he got all fouled up. He brought them there in the kingdom. What, he had 700 wives and a bunch of hundreds of concubines? He was a womanizer. When he got all them women, then he had to get their gods there in the land and they brought them in, and before it was over with, Israel had incorporated that worship of idolatry into their religion, and it caused the judgment of God to come on them several hundred years on down the road. But the wheels of God grind slow, but they grind sure. And they ended up in captivity. The Assyrian captivity, the northern tribes went into Assyrian captivity some hundred years before the Judah and the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, wasn't it? I think that they were the same two tribes. Anyway, there was two tribes that was the southern kingdom, I believe, and the northern kingdom was the 10 tribes that God had rent and from Jeroboam. Got them in a mess. They never had a good king after Solomon. The northern tribe didn't. The two tribes, they had a few good kings. They had a few times of revival that they would bring back the Word of God. If you have revival, you're going to have to bring back the Word of God. We're going to have to get in this book. We're going to have to preach this book. A revival. You know what revival is? It's just normal Christian living. I mean, God wants us all to have revival. Now, we call revival a series of meetings. We're going to have some meetings around here. We're going to call them revival meetings. But revival is an individual thing. That's a bringing back to life. There's a lot of people that needs to be brought back to life. They're not enjoying their salvation. They're not enjoying serving God. They're never seeing God do anything. But because Solomon failed to listen to God, he brought the whole tribe of Israel into a mess. They got into idolatry. And we're living in a land today that's filled with idolatry. Everything takes the place of God. Anything that takes the place of God is idolatry. That we put first and foremost. A lot of people are just lay out church just all the time and just go do their thing on Sunday. The devil has got us so filled with pleasures today, car races, ball games, and everything that's going on that entice people and draw them out of the house of God. You know what America's two idols are? Is education and sports. Education and sports. You say, why do you say that? Well, look at the universities. Look at the money that's spent on the grounds and the buildings and the things that we put so much stock in. We're more concerned about our kids getting an education than we are them finding Jesus. And I've said this, and don't get me wrong, education is important. Especially today. But I'm going to tell you, when that takes preeminence over the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him and following God, then we've done missed it. We've missed it by a landslide. Solomon failed to listen to God. Wisest man in the world. The seat's empty. His place in the kingdom. He lost the throne to his family because of his... God didn't take away the kingdom during his time of reign because he had promised he would. But after him, then that's when he began to rent the kingdom, to tear it apart into two parts. He took away that promise. Oh, he didn't take away the promise. The promise is still standing. One of these days, the descendant of David is going to reign on the throne of David. It's going to be Jesus Christ during the millennial reign when he comes back to this earth and he sets up that kingdom. It's going to happen, friend. People don't believe it, but it's going to happen. So they come scoffers in the last day saying, where's the sign of his appearing? So for time just going on just like it's always went on. We've heard this that Jesus is coming back. Well, he's coming back. Yes. He's coming back to them that's looking for him. Right. Are we looking for him? But Solomon, he failed to listen to God and he lost his kingdom. When we fail, not listening to God will cause our seat to be empty. When you go through this Old Testament and you see people that fail to listen to God, time after time again, and you'll find their seat empty. Not listening to God. Not listening to guidance. Just guidance. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5 said, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. When we don't listen to guidance, people that know. You know, the Holy Ghost uses a lot of things in your life. One thing He uses is Scripture. Another thing He uses people a lot of times. He uses individuals that you come into contact with to give you the guidance that you need in your Christian life. You know, the problem caused a lot of people's seats to be empty is because they didn't listen to the right guidance. They usually go to that most carnal person in the church to get advice. And the Bible says in Psalms 1, in verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water of life that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hey, you want to prosper? Listen to good guidance. Amen. Listen to somebody that'll tell you what you don't want to hear most of the time. Because this flesh is just contrary to the things of God. Not listening to guidance will cause your seat to be empty. There's a lot of people in churches tonight that their seat is empty, and they never thought that would happen because they listened to the wrong guidance. Right. Failing to listen to God first and then failing to listen to guidance. And in young people, let me tell you what can cause your seat to be empty in the church and in the home also. Not listening to godly parents. Not listening to godly parents will cause your seat to be empty. There's a lot of seats at the table in houses tonight that's empty when the family comes together around the table because a rebellious child refused to listen to godly parents. Do you know that one of the commandments that promises long life? It's Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You want to live to be 89 or 90 if you stay healthy? Like my dad has and Brother Barney. Listen to godly parents. It's a promise of long life. I've seen a lot of people that their life was shortened. Cut short because they failed to listen to godly parents. There's a lot of boys and girls that's gotten killed in car wrecks out here because they failed to listen to mama and daddy that knew best for them and tried to steer them the right way, and they refused to obey. Or they slipped out. I know one little girl that in our community back 100 years ago, her daddy was a preacher, And I don't know the total situation, but I do know that they had tried to raise her right, and she got out in sort of rebellion and got in a car and maybe was doing something that she wasn't supposed to, and they had a wreck, and she got killed. I could tell you numbers and numbers of kids that got away from that authority of that godly parent and wanted to go in their own way tonight, and their seat is empty at the house. Their seats are empty at the house of God. I'm going to tell you, you can't be right with God and not be obedient to your parents. If you're really saved and you're born again, you better listen to mama and daddy if they're trying to raise you right. Especially if they're godly parents, you better listen. You better pay attention to what they say. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3 reinforces that. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5, you can read a lot of verses about a child being disobedient. But Proverbs 15, verse 5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. You want God to bless you, young people, to help you find a mate? Listen to godly parents. God will bless you for honoring them. Honor thy father and mother. I've disobeyed my dad. I'm not saying I've never disobeyed him, but I've tried to be obedient. I've tried to honor my dad and mother. And I rebelled as a teenager. I got out in the world. But I'm going to tell you, since I got saved, I've tried to honor my dad and my mother. And I hope God will grant me long life for that. Sometimes God's got different plans for us. You know, you don't never know. But some things that cause your seat to be empty. Not listening to God. Not listening to guidance. Not listening to godly parents. Not looking to the right people. I mean, just picking the right friends. Iron sharpeneth, iron so man sharpeneth countenance of his friend. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Young people, pick your friends. You don't want to get fleas on you. Don't lay down with the dogs. There's people that you ought to stay away from. Now, I'm not saying not to love them and not to try to witness to them. But as far as hanging out with them and doing the same things that they do, hey, they just sometimes you just got to look to the right people for friendship. The Bible tells us to abstain from the very appearance of evil. There's a lot of young men that's gotten in trouble down through the years that was out with the wrong crowd, that followed the wrong person, that was hanging out with the wrong people, and some of them got in big trouble. And it was accident. Because they was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it could have been avoided. And this caused their seat to be in. Not listening to the ground rules about morals. There are just things, some things that's moral that you shouldn't do. Paul told Timothy, young Timothy, he said, flee fornication. You know, that's a sacred thing, is relationships. And we've got to the point today, in this day and hour that we're living in, immorality has swept our country. There's not much wrong anymore. It's still right to marry before you live together. It's never right to go on a trial basis. God honors that piece of paper. And I believe if we'll listen to the ground rules and we'll protect our body and protect ourselves from that situation and not put ourselves in compromising situations, I believe it's probable, and I believe it's right, and I believe that someday that you can walk down this aisle, young people, pure. Save yourself for your mate. Morals. We need morals tonight in this land. I've never seen so much immorality. I've never seen so much nakedness out here in this world. Nobody has the power to blush anymore. And it leads to immorality.
Yes.
Get quiet.
That's right.
But it's right. I guarantee you it's right. If somebody don't tell these kids, they go to the public school system, hey, they're going to fall into the traps of the devil. Very possible. If you got Jesus in your heart, got good Bible preaching, you got a Bible and you pray every once in a while, hey, you can have good morals. We don't have to live like dogs and cats. I think God wants us to be clean and pure. Not listening to ground rules. Morals. Men. Tell you what, thank God for some men. Some men that'll stand up and be men. Thank God for some mothers. Mother knows a lot more than you think they do, young people. Even older people. Godly mothers, these older ladies, they've been around, they know. Bible tells for the older ladies to teach the younger ladies to be chaste, lovers of their own husbands, keepers at home. We need elderly ladies in the church that'll take the initiative and teach our younger ladies how they're to love their husbands and how they're to live. Honestly, I'll just be honest with you. My wife works, but it's best if the wife don't work. The Bible teaches that, by the way. It teaches for mothers to be chaste keepers at home. That's what's wrong with our young people today across this land. We've left them with the babysitters and we've not took care of them. And then we wonder why they go astray. And I know we all work. I'm not fussing at nobody. Don't you go off and think I'm fussing at you because you work. My wife worked, and my mother didn't. Well, she did work at the schoolhouse for a few years there, but she was usually at home in the afternoons. We were all grown and gone. I never remembered her working when I was little. When I come home in the evenings, my mother was there. God laid it out. I didn't. I never wrote it. I'm just quoting it. And I know we're living so today that the economy is so bad and we want to live higher on the hog than we should. We do what we want to do. I'm including myself. We like nice cars. We not like nice homes. We like to be able to go on trips. You notice old people, they don't go nowhere. They don't have to have vacations. A big vacation every year. We do. We're the younger generation. It takes more money for us.
Right.
We got to have Hoyt carbon elements. Brown and A-bolts. Remington Model 1100s. Got to have hunting trips. Colorado, they cost. So we sacrifice. I'm talking about not listening to the ground rules, and I'm talking ground rules here. You still love me? Hey, it's just right.
Yes.
One lady today, what was it she said when I was talking to her? They was talking, called me about a car Brother Adam did, and I was telling them what to tell this guy to do. And anyway, she said something about, having power of God or something, said something about independent Baptist preachers, and they was from a Pentecostal background, said independent Baptist preacher didn't have power of God anymore or something to that effect. And I said, yeah, neither does Pentecostals. They've lost it too. Why have we lost the power of God? Because we've failed to listen to the ground rules. If we'd order our steps by that Bible, I promise you we wouldn't be in much trouble as we're in. The divorce rate wouldn't be as bad across the land. It's easy to get a divorce today. It's just easy. You can get a non-contested one. Hey, you can get an internet one for about $90, they tell me. That ain't right. They used to make it hard. But now, hey, we have a little spat. Well, go back to mama. Right. I'll get me a $90 divorce and I'm leaving you. A lot of them won't even get a divorce. They'll just leave the kids and run off. Have you ever seen such unnatural affections? It's not natural for a woman to leave her family and run off with some old guy and leave her husband there to raise them. Or vice versa. Some men that won't support their wife and their children. I'm not for the Ku Klux, but they used to get them and they'll take care of them out in the woods and they'd go to work the next Monday. And they'd take care of their families. No, I'm not for that. That's wicked. We need somebody to do something. Men ought to stand up and be men. Mothers ought to be mothers.
Yes.
How's people take a stand? Paul said, having done all to stand, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. A lot of seats empty tonight because we failed to listen to the ground rules. God help us that we'll listen to God. I'd like to hear from him again, wouldn't you? I'd like to see him move. I'd like to see a revival. We had a revival, Brother Darrell, in 1993 at Harmony Street Baptist Church. Brother Sammy Allen come for a Sunday night. And they had a lot. He was supposed to be in Baja, New Mexico, I believe that's where it was, or Baja, Mexico, whatever it is. And they had a lot of rains and floods and washed out all the roads, and they canceled his meeting. And he come down there and he preached on Sunday night. God began to move. People began to go to the altar, began to get saved. We went on Monday night. We come back. Went on Tuesday night, and it went on. The next week, we went on another week. This was Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and I believe Saturday night we had it, didn't we? For 5 weeks. Amen. And then Brother Mays Jackson come the sixth week. We went into a six-week meeting. Amen. And God began to move in our lives, in mine and my wife's life. And God did something for me through those meetings. And we seen a move of God. We come that close to having a revival, I believe. And I know some people that's still affected by that revival. Brother Mark Stroud, he was in that revival. He still, God moved in his life and changed his heart about some things, I believe. If we hadn't been in that revival, I don't know what would have happened to us, me and my wife. Our kids was young, teenagers. I don't know what would have happened to Brother Mark. He might have went a different route. You don't know. God sends people into our lives and He sends moves of the Holy Spirit in our lives that will change our direction if we'll pay attention. You may be at that point in time in your life tonight. God may be speaking to you. He may be moving in your life. Okay, I've given you some things that would cause your seat to be empty tonight. Let me give you just a few things real quick. And it's not late, 15 hours 7. I'll be done here in just a few minutes. Things that will keep you in your seat. Number one, the right Bible will.
Amen.
You say, oh, you preach about that all the time. Well, the right Bible will. This is God's Word right here. This King James Bible is the inerrant, infallible, perfect, preserved Word of God that I hold before you tonight. And this Bible, if you'll listen to it, and if you'll read it, it'll keep you in your seat. You can't go wrong listening to God's Word. I read this the other night, and if it's here, I'm going to read it again. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's mount, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and hell disclosed. Christ is its grand object, our good and its design, and the glory of God its end. It shall fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. it is given you in life will be opened in judgment and remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the highest labor, and condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents, the Word of God. There's a lot of people who are going to stand before God because of how they've handled and how they've disputed and how they've treated the Word of God, I believe. I've never been around much preaching outside of the King James Bible. I've heard a few on radio and tape, but I've never, ever went to a church where they didn't use the King James Bible. And I will never go to a church where they've adopted these other versions of the Bible. Because I believe this Word is true. There was a guy we was hunting down there this week at B.F. Grant, and Ron was waiting on me, and this guy comes out, and he begins to talk to him a little bit. Before he leaves, he said, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And Ron stuck out his hand and said, "Thank you, man. I appreciate you asking me that." Got to talking to that guy. He's all fouled up. Doctrinally. He said there was 170-something mistakes in this Bible. I'm just standing over there listening. I never did even get into conversation with him. Hey, I'm not going to change his mind in 5-10 minutes, and I'm not wasting my time with him. He's all messed up anyway on the return of Christ. He talking about the Antichrist, how 666 when he comes back is revealed, and that's okay. But then he's talking about Jesus when he comes back, he comes back with 777 on his forehead. Where do they get this stuff? The right Bible will keep your seat from being empty. You get the question in this Bible and where this is the Word of God, it won't be long your seat will be empty, friend. I promise you. There's a lot of people that wants to discredit this Bible and prove the mistakes in it. I've been reading it a long time and I've never found any mistakes in it. There's some things I can't explain. Maybe I don't understand like I should, but there's no mistakes in my Bible. If we'll read it, the mistakes and the problem is in our mind. We don't interpret it correctly. There's always a logical explanation for any error that you might think that's in the Word of God, and it's in our mind. The right Bible will keep your seat in. The right church will keep your seat full from being empty. The right church. Every church won't preach to you what I'm preaching to you tonight. And I'm not saying I'm a great preacher, but I do know this. I'm preaching the truth to the best of my ability. And I'm telling you some things that will keep your seat from being empty tonight. But the right church. I believe there's a right church for everybody, don't you? There's a lot of people that's got all fouled up in the church, and they've began to move around. They began to float around all over this country. They've tried. I know some that makes the circuit. They'll go over here and stay about a year or two. Something happened over there, they get their feelings hurt. They'll go over here to another church. They'll stay there for a year or two. They'll move on to another church. They get their feelings hurt everywhere they go. It's just a matter of time. They're going to get their feelings hurt. Now, we've belonged to several different churches. I'm not saying that we've always belonged. We've belonged to Pond Fort Baptist Church. When my dad pastored there for 12 years, we stayed a year after he left. We went to Faith Baptist Church. We stayed there with Brother Edgar for 5 years, and then Brother Richard Cole began to be the pastor. We stayed there 4 more years, about 9 years. And one night about 11 o'clock, I mean, it was 11 o'clock. We're still at church. David Nix had been preaching a youth meeting over there, and Brother Willard, he's sitting over there in the mall looking for contacts on Friday night before that maybe, and he's seen us, and he invited us to the meeting. So we went to the meeting. We went to our church on Sunday morning, went on over there and had lunch, I believe it was. And then Sunday night, we went to our church. Did we go to our church? And then we went over to their church Sunday night after our church. So I believe y'all be faithful to your church. Unless you're preaching somewhere or, you know, just for some unforeseen reason, I believe we ought to be faithful. And so we went over there, and about 11 o'clock,
God impressed my heart. We weren't where we needed to be, really. I wasn't. We moved our letter. Brother Willard opened Doors Church, and I got Debbie and stepped out. And we come by Stephanie. We got Stephanie. She got saved that night, didn't she? We got her, and she got went down, and she got saved. We thought she'd already made a little profession. We thought she was already saved. And so we joined the church that night at 11 o'clock. We stayed with Brother Willard for 5 years. 6 years. 6 years. Dad was pastoring. He'd been pastoring about 2 or 3 years at Zion Hill Baptist Church. And things began to happen. And so I stayed out of work. I was on Monday, I believe it was. And I was working around the house or something. And I went out. God impressed on my heart it was time for me to leave. Just out of the blue. So, I think this is right. And I went out there and I talked to Dad and I said, I was preaching then. And I said, we're going to move our letters. I said, I feel like the Lord wants us to leave Harmony Street. I said, we're going to move our letters to Zion Hill. And we're going to visit around a little bit. I said, I've never got to visit. I'm going to visit around. And I could visit around somewhere and they'll preach you. I just never have liked to do that, even after I quit pastoring. I could have preached a lot more than I did if I'd have just went places. But I just never could do that. But anyway, I went up on Monday night. We was fixing to start tearing out some stuff and had a good time of fellowship with them there at Harmony Street. And so on Wednesday that night I thought, maybe it's just me, you know? I mean, we enjoy coming here. We got friends there. We love Bro Willard. Me and him was just like that. We'd go places with him. We tried to drive everywhere we went with him because he couldn't drive. He'd scare you to death because he'd talk and drive. He's like old Magoo. You ever remember seeing old Magoo driving? He's going down the road and everybody's having wrecks behind him and everything. But anyway, I thought, well, maybe I'm jumping the gun here. So we went back on Wednesday night. And I was thinking like that. And at the end of service, I thought, no, we need to get out of here. And I called him in his office, and I told him, I said, Bro Willard, I said, I feel like we need to go to Zion Hill, and we're going to drive to help Daddy and him up there and go up and be with them. He was 70-something when he was pastoring up there. And so anyway, he wanted me to stay there for just a few more, couple of weeks. He's fixing to ordain some guys. And he asked me to stay. And so we stayed there for just a couple more weeks. And then we moved our letters to Zion Hill. We drove Dad and him back and forth for 3 more years. And then he resigned in June. His last Sunday was in July. They voted me in on the first Sunday of July. And I stayed there for like 2 months, being there 12 years. So I've been to a few different churches. But I'm not flipped around from here and there just because I got my feelings hurt or because a preacher preached on something that I didn't agree with or because somebody else got all crossed up with me and hurt my feelings. We got to be bigger than that. Yes. The right church will keep your seat from being empty. And I've always been part of a church. I am a church preacher. I believe in the church. The Bible said Christ loved the church and He gave Himself for it. And I believe we ought to be a member of a church, a local, visible church. Amen. Not an internet church.
Right.
There's internet churches.
Yes.
I had a couple that come to us from an internet church at Zion Hill. They hadn't been in church for 14 years. 14 years they had got messed up or hurt at another church. Anyway, I didn't even say that it was from, I just said from Bible Today Baptist Church. I didn't say internet church. I didn't like that, really. And I couldn't understand how an intelligent human being could belong to an internet church. Now, some people have to watch. I understand they're sick and they can't get out. And that's a blessing to be able to watch church. There's enough streaming. I ain't sending my ties to some internet guy that's got a church. You don't know what he's in his house. You say, you're being critical. No, I'm just telling you my heart. You got Bible for that? Well, some. That may be a personal preference. They may have been all right. I don't know. But I wouldn't go that route. The right church. The right activities will keep your seat from being empty. You get to dabbling around and doing things that you're not supposed to do, activities, and your seat will be empty the next thing you know.
Yes.
The right music. Keep your seat from being empty.
Amen.
I think there's the right kind of music to listen to.
Yes,
country music ain't no good. Rock music ain't no good. Them guys ain't saved, most of them that sing that stuff. Did y'all know that? They're talking about getting drunk in them country, them whining songs and running off of somebody's wife and all that. And them that rock music, them guys are drug infested. You didn't know that, did you? Most of them. It's got accepted, though. I wonder if we went out here and got in some cars sometimes and turned and cranked them up, what kind of music would come out of speakers? I ain't going to do that. I'm going to try not to be around because I don't want to know. But the right kind of music could keep you seat from it. Some of the Southern gospel ain't no good, by the way. You've heard those saying, if it walks like a duck, sounds like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Some of them songs just ain't biblical. And the way they sing them, I mean, it's just jazzed up country. You can listen to some of it. Some of it's okay. The right reading material. Y'all read right books. These true love books and true love stories and magazines, and that ain't going to help you spiritually. It might cause your seat to get empty. You might get to reading some of that stuff and get to lusting and get to filled with lust, and the next thing you know, you're living out some fantasies. And your seat will be empty. That's good preaching.
Amen.
The right praise. I think we ought to praise Him every once in a while, don't you? Just lift up our hands because He's worthy tonight.
Yes.
The right spirit will keep your seat from being empty. A lot of spirits out here. Paul told them, said, try the spirits, know they're of God. And I'm going to tell you, we're living in a sensitive time tonight. You better be able to discern the Spirit of God. Because everything that's said in Jesus is not the right spirit. They're trying to preach a Jesus without any holiness and any without any requirements and commands and demands on a person's life. Salvation's free, friend, but serving Him not. It'll cost you. It'll cost you. Some things that'll keep your seat from being empty. And then some things that'll keep it from being right. Lord, we sure do thank You for this time we've had this evening. Lord, I pray as Miss Sarah comes to the instrument, Lord, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts. Lord, there may be someone here that's lost tonight. Lord, there may be a seat that's empty in heaven one of these days. When we get there, and Lord, we sure don't want to find that out. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to hearts tonight. God, I pray that You'd wrap Your arms of love around some sinner, Lord, that don't know You as their Savior, Lord, that don't have You to look to. God, I pray that You speak to that heart. Lord, save them for Jesus' sake. Lord, I pray for that one, it may be out of Your will. Lord, might come back to You this evening. Lord, just that Your people is encouraged through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Lord, I love You. Thank You for saving my wretched soul. Thank You, Lord, that my seat is not empty tonight, Lord. Help us to keep our lives right and unspotted from the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand while she plays. If you need to pray, these altars open, whatever your need might be. You might just want to come down here and pray. Hey, but just think about this seat. We don't want your seat empty in the days to come. I want to see everybody loving and living for the Lord Jesus Christ around Open Door Baptist Church. I go to a lot of places sometimes, and people that used to be there, they're not there. Their seat's empty. And you know, that bothers me. People that I never would have thought would ever have got out of church and their seat would have been empty. And tonight, it's empty. God, help us to draw closer to Him, listen to God, follow God's guidance, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you've never been saved, this might be the night that the Lord's knocking on your heart's door. He wants you to come to Him. He can help you. And I believe He'll save you if you'll come. I believe He'll work grace in your heart if you'll come this evening. If you'll be honest with God and come to Him just as you are. That's all He wants, is you just to come as you are tonight. Thank God we got an altar that we can come to around here. We need to use it. Don't worry about what somebody thinks you're coming. It ain't nobody's business. Do business with God. Lord, I thank You again for the privilege we've had to be here tonight. God, I pray that You'll take the Word of God, the message, Lord, that You'll lodge it in the hearts of Your people. Lord, and I pray for that little boy, little girl, man or woman. Lord, we don't know the hearts of nobody, Lord, but I pray if there's one here tonight lost, God, I pray that You'll show them and, Lord, touch their heart and draw them to You, Father, they might step out and come to You. Lord, we love You. Thank You for saving our wretched soul. Thank You for calling us to preach. Lord, thank You for giving us a seat, Lord, in the church. Lord, and thank You for giving us a seat, Lord, one day in heaven at the end of this life. In Jesus' name, amen.